get things rolling this afternoon as we connect on the G&M Family Market phone line with Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe. Bob, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and please convey my congratulations to Mr. McDonough.
Well, we will absolutely do that. Of course, you worked with his dad for many years, and talk for a moment about that, if you can, Bob. How this has not been the smoothest ride to this important gig in the sports broadcasting landscape for Sean.
No, I think some misjudgments about along the way, because I don't understand how anybody doesn't get it, and that it being there's nobody better than Sean McDonough. They're the only people who are in this class. And that he brings out the best in his color men in all sports. He knows exactly. I mean, he's just the greatest. And along with Marv Albert, he's one of the only, those two are the only ones I can think of who are four-sport quality guys, four sports, because most basketball guys can't do hockey, and most hockey guys hate basketball. and so, therefore, they're unique. He's great. And this is a well-deserved promotion.
Absolutely. Well, on Sunday, Bob, you wrote about how much you liked this Red Sox team, and it would appear that your words inspired them after a clubbing of the Oakland A's.
It's funny how you worry about these things in the short run. It was written a week ago today, yesterday, actually, for a Sunday publication, and they went out and lost the first two to the Yankees, and I'm thinking, oh, they're making me look real bad. Then they went out and won. They did win that game Sunday night. And then here come the A's. And they pound the A's. But I think the reasons that I say that why I like them are quite valid, and they're holding up, just dissecting the basic nine individually. There's so much to like. And the pitching is the issue. They're not going to keep this up. Look, this is not sustainable, although they are projecting to score over 900 runs. Maybe they'll do that. But they're going to still have nights when they're going to, if they don't pitch better, and if they don't get something started with David Price tonight and get settled in there, they're going to have to win a few of those 10-8 games. But the pitching is going to determine how far they go. But this is not anything that anybody who follows baseball doesn't know. I mean, it's a baseball 101. Pitching will determine it. But start with Price. You know, I saw a comparison Buchholz was making between 2007 and this year. And the biggest difference is quite clear. 2007, Josh Beckett, for the one and only time in his entire major league career, was a great pitcher from start to finish, from the first day of spring training to the end of the World Series. And they haven't had a pitcher at that level demonstrate anything yet this year, even though they've got some good performances from people like Fasello and Wright. Wright, it's got to be Price, and he's got to start doing it tonight.
One of the keys offensively to this great start has been the work of David Ortiz at age 40. And when people talk about him, it seems the only comparison they make is to Barry Bonds. But they're also forgetting that Ted Williams put up some very impressive numbers late in his career, including a run at 400 at 38 and then a very impressive final season at age 41.
Absolutely. He went out with a big bang and hit almost 30 home runs, including the famous home run in his last at-bat. It's been done to some degree before. Raul Ibanez had a big year after 40. The home run record post 40 is Darrell Evans, and so 34. So it's been done, but seldom, and not any better than this is being done. That's for sure. I mean, he has posted gigantuan numbers, and it's very interesting to note because he has so often in the past been a slow starter, and if he's going to keep this up. At this level, then he's going to have one of his best years ever, and I don't think any of us foresaw that.
Bob, on the Mount Rushmore of Boston Red Sox history, Ted Williams has got to be the guy, but does David Ortiz even creep up close to that, or is he... Or let me rephrase
well,
it.
Well, I mean, this is going to be fun. I mean, Ted Williams is still the demigod of all Red Sox players, the 344 lifetime. The numbers that would have been even more astonishing if he hadn't lost out parts of five seasons to two different wars. He would have had well over 600 home runs. He had 521. He never did get 3,000 hits because he didn't have, you know, he had very few at-bats due to all his gargantuan number of walks. I don't believe, if you look it up, he had something along the lines of 8,870 career at-bats. I don't think he even had official. If he had plate appearances, God knows, 10,000, but not at-bats. I don't know. He won't have postseason resume that Ortiz has. He only got in the one World Series, and he was hurt. Had hit in the elbow just before it started. He had five singles, did not have an extra base hit. A lot of his critics held that against him the rest of his career. But he's still going to be the guy. I mean, Mount Rushmore, you got him, and you got Yaz. and you got Pedro for me. And if you want to say those are the four, and then start arguing about Clemens as well, he's the all-time winner along with Cy Young, 192 wins. And you can throw a few others in there, but certainly he will be in the discussion, and I would think most people would put him on that Rushmore of Red Sox players.
We're talking with Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe. Let's shift to basketball, Bob. This offseason in the NBA, or postseason rather, has been wonderful so far. The return of Steph Curry the other night, his incredible performance in overtime. How do you see it playing out here down the stretch, and what are your overall impressions of this postseason so far?
Well, it's been good, and it's been mixed because of the injuries. They're so disturbing. The injuries take away so much of the fun, so much of create too many what-ifs. It looks as if the Warriors have survived the Curry crisis, and now he's back and he's fine, and they're going to be whole. But look at what's happened to that Toronto and Miami series, and the carnage continues. Last night, Deng got hurt. Damari Carroll got hurt. Each team's missing its starting center. Anyway, and there have been other injuries that have affected the play. I'm very impressed with the way Oklahoma City has bounced back after that tremendous setback they got in Game 1 where they were just destroyed by the Spurs. They shrugged it off. They've come back. They're dominating that series. And I think I still think it's going to go 7. I still think the Spurs are going to come back. But I like what they've done. But the story, Rich, the story is Cleveland. Cleveland's been played better than anybody. And now people say, well, they only beat the Pistons and the Hawks. I think people underestimate the fact that the Pistons turned out to be pretty good and the Hawks were pretty good. I think they're making it look too easy. They've won 8 in a row. They are going to be heard from, and clearly they're going to win the East. And I think they've got an excellent chance to win, and that includes even if they play Golden State.
Bob, how excited are you for the Celtics offseason?
I'm excited to see, obviously, the first thing is the draft, next Thursday, 17th. Let's see what the draft holds. It's the 17th, right? Whatever the lottery is, I think it's the 17th.
Yeah,
okay, whatever the draft holds. They could pick no lower than 6 and as high as 1. Let's see what they get there, and then what Danny does with it, that's number 1. They have 8 picks. I mean, that's ridiculous. Nobody can use 8 picks. They got 3 in the first round. You wish it were a better, deeper year from the way it appears to be, but that's the luck of the draw. That's where they are. I'm very excited. I think he has a chance. I think it's lucky, and he'll try hard, make something big happen. People want something big. They got it done. It'll be 9 years ago. Isn't that amazing? 9 years since he pulled the trigger on a big trade with the two big deals of getting Ray Allen and getting Kevin Garnett. But people are looking for something. They think that all the draft picks, he ought to be able to get something done. We're going to know a lot more in a week from now, and we're going to know a whole lot more by the end of June.
Bob, we're celebrating a couple of big 30th anniversaries with the Celtics 86 championship and the Red Sox American League championship. Mm-hmm. 30
yeah.
years ago,
what
was it like covering sports in Boston in that summer, fall, and winter of those two champions?
Well, it was a blissful thing. I was a columnist, and I was not a columnist yet. I was covering the Celtics. I picked up the team from Dan Shaughnessy after he went back to baseball in January of '86, and got this great stretch run of the Celtics and got the whole playoffs. And it was as enjoyable a ride as I've ever had in my whole career, watching the best Celtic team of all, and a team I believe was as any NBA team ever. Play some of the games that they played, it was extraordinary. And watching Bird at his peak, winning his third straight MVP at his peak, it was extraordinary. The Red Sox season was a lot of fun, obviously, all year. And, the devastation and then the juxtaposition of the great triumph over the Angels, Dave Anderson at the country company, and then the events in the World Series, which we cashed many, many times and always will. It was great. And then, of course, the Patriots, that was right. Fish to fish. So it was a very heady time in Boston sports.
Bob, it's always great to talk to you. Will I see you down in Salisbury next month?
Yes. Been looking forward to it. I mean, absolutely, I'll be there. And, the Globe sports staff of Vintage is going to be honored, and I'm very thrilled and honored and pleased about that. And so, yes, I'm very much looking forward to it.
Fantastic. We'll see you in North Carolina. And, as always, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bob.